time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Ground ball. That's going to be a base hit. Chaz McCormick is going to be waved around. He's going to score. The Astros walk it off. 3-2.
All right. The Astros win 3-2 thanks to King Tucker. Safe to say he's out of that slump.
Yeah.
In a big way.
Take that, Frank, or whatever the guy who called in earlier. He can't hit. There's too many holes in his swing. Well, not against Detroit.
Yeah. It was a good win. It almost was not. Thanks to Ryan Pressly's questionable pitching towards the end.
Any concern about that one coming back from the knee inflammation?
Yeah, it was his first game back, right? So I didn't expect like great stuff from Ryan Pressly, but he gave up the game-tying home run top of the ninth. And at that point, I'm thinking, okay, well, Detroit might have this one.
He inflamed my indigestion. I did not like that moment in time. You could see how sad he was.
Did you have heartburn?
He allowed it. Oh, yeah, you got indigestion if you're in your 30s. That's welcome. Welcome to your 30s. You're going to be dealing with that. You know,
I have three years.
It's coming. It's coming, Vanessa. It is going to be bad. But anyway, you saw Pressly like look down at the ground. I guess it's his first game back. So, or one of his first games back. So you're thinking to yourself, okay, hey, look, we'll see what happens a couple of games from now. But you know, as you adjust back to major league pitching after you know being with the Sugarland Space Cowboys, which you can hear on ESPN 92.5. Boom.
Plug.
But I didn't like seeing that. I mean, it's Detroit, and outside of Miguel Cabrera, there's no one on that team that I look at that concerns me in any way, shape, or form if I'm an Astro.
Todd, the show on Twitch says his velocity was actually closer to what it was last year, so that's actually semi-promising.
Well, that's neat.
I don't think it was terrible. I just think that obviously giving up in big moments like that where you're concerned about losing the game, it's a game one against the Tigers.
Should the Astros cut Ryan Pressly?
They would have been okay if they would have lost to the Detroit Tigers.
Listen, we're just coming in with some hot takes.
We are, yeah.
Ryan Pressly, yes. I mean, this guy...
Actually, the Astros should just tank.
Right. Tank because, you know, you might win the World Series, but you need to get draft picks so you can get a quarterback of the future. That doesn't work.
Meanwhile, Jose Altuve and Jeremy Pena mania continues, both of them hitting home runs.
He's hit a lot thus far. I'm really continuously surprised by the power that he has shown to this point. And, I mean, is it out of the question for him to reach 30 home runs in his rookie season? I mean, shoot, he's got what, six now, seven now in his first month in the majors? Like, we're officially a month in.
We're going to talk about, throughout the day, Astro superlative. So who's your favorite Astro so far, most improved?
And progress reports.
Progress reports is the better way of putting it. So we definitely want to hear what you guys have to say about this Astro squad. I love what I've seen from Jeremy Pena. And I was hoping, obviously, as we all were, that he would have a good rookie year, that he wouldn't feel too much of that pressure being in the shoes of Carlos Correa. I think he's really done a great job of coming into himself. And Jake Odorizzi said it sometime last week. He hasn't tried to be Carlos Correa. He hasn't tried. He's being himself, and it's really working.
Yeah, and I just wonder how much better he can get, too, if this is what we're seeing at first, because it's going to be something that cools down a bit at a certain point this year. He will face a slump. At least that's what most rookies are supposed to, unless he's the next greatest player of all time, which, let's be honest, that's probably not going to happen. But how much better can he get from where he is at right now? Because clearly he is not afraid of major league pitching in any way, shape, or form. And he has power like this. You know, you wouldn't expect a young man to come into the sport, come into the majors, and perhaps be smacking it around the way that he does. You know, I at least when I stereotype infielders, especially young infielders, I generally expect, okay, maybe this guy gets 12, 13 home runs on a good year. I mean, already, he's shown incredible power to open things up.
And this team certainly has needed it with the offense being so stalled the first couple of weeks of the season. We are now exactly a month in, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're at that 1 month mark. So now Paul is not overreacting. He is simply reacting.
Yeah, that's right. As a month into the season, I would still like more runs from the Astros. Hello? Can you score more than three runs? You're playing Detroit. But Paul! They won the game last night. They're doing pretty well. It's still a trend. I mean, we have to accept that this offense is what it is, which is not to say it's bad. It's just not killing teams the way that it used to. The good news is that, once again, I mean, you're getting really good pitching. And last night, until Ryan Pressly came in, I mean, you had a shutout going. I'm really, I guess, intrigued by the idea that this pitching staff can continue to do what it's been doing all year and throw the Pressly moment out. You assume that Pressly will be better by the end of the year. This pitching staff has been really damn good. And, I mean, you know, you don't look at it on paper and think to yourself, hey, this is, you know, top of the line, but the ERA last year and what you've seen thus far, it feels like this is going to continue. They're almost a pitching-driven team at this point.
Brent Strom in Arizona, we thought that would negatively affect the Astros. Yeah. Also, Lance McCullers Jr., the person that served as their ace last year, out as well indefinitely. The only thing we know about that is that he says it's healing in the right direction and that he hopes to obviously be back sometime this season. But yes, pitching has carried the Astros, something we might not have expected. Yordan Alvarez with a little bit of a bonehead move yesterday.
This is the epitome of takes that make people sound like boomers, but always the correct take.
Crushed one off of left center wall, but he looked at it a little too long. Started running and wound up with a single instead of a double. He immediately came back, according to Dusty Baker, and said, I messed up, to which Dusty Baker, after, said in the press conference, sometimes baseball teaches you about life.
It teaches you about life. That
instead
is funny.
Of chewing him out, Bake was calm.
If I were Yordan Alvarez, I would do that all the time. I'm sorry.
You're fine with it. Because people were enraged online. And I quote on Twitter, he needs to be benched tomorrow for that.
Oh, yeah. He needs to go to baseball jail. Look, he's one of your best hitters. You're not doing that. And I do think that he'll learn from it. But if you were in his shoes and you could clobber a ball that far, would you not pause to look at it from time to time?
He paused a long time, though.
What's wrong with that? Did you ever see Manny Ramirez, what he would do after he clubbed the ball? Manny would stare at it for like 3 seconds and get out of the batter's box extremely slowly. And honestly, it frustrates you, but it's endearing, and it's a little bit of a change of pace for a wild card over the course of a game. It would be funny to see if Yordan Alvarez, whenever he got a home run, if someone just did a full-on sprint around the base paths. I kind of want to see that happen instead of a home run trot, like a home run sprint. That would be great. But I don't have a problem with this, especially because he said it's a learning experience, and I do think it's kind of funny to see it happen. Obviously, in a more important game, not one against the Detroit Tigers, I would like to see him run it out, but the guy bombs balls.
Paul is not worried about it.
No. I am deciding to zag to all those boomers out there. Yeah, you wouldn't stare at that ball when you smash it out there? No, you would absolutely stare and revel in it. Revel in the glory of your power.
All right, we're moving along on a TGIF. It's Friday already.
It's Friday. Got to get down on Friday.
Was this week long or short?
For me, it was long.
This one felt longer to me, too.
Yeah.
But we're both dealing with... Where are you on your house situation?
I'm supposed to close on my condo today.
Yay!
Which I'm very excited about, but I am still dealing with issues with my apartment complex. And yesterday, I got way too worked up over something.
Well,
I went into the leasing office, and I was like, hey, you guys haven't done anything in
2 days. Were you wearing a suit?
No. This time, I came in wearing flip-flops. Okay. I didn't even care this time. Yep.
There you go.
And I was polite at first, and then someone came. I was loud, though, because everyone knows my voice is like a damn foghorn. And this person who was talking to some other people was like, excuse me, can you stop? You're being rude. And I said, like, I don't care. And then I started being louder and louder. And they brought me into a separate room to like say, like, hey, listen, here's what's going on. But this is the first time I haven't been polite.
True.
And it actually worked.
So what was the issue?
Do I want to go through a list of all the issues that
but
are taking place
there?
But
you said they haven't done anything. This is your current complex.
This is my current complex,
okay,
yes.
That you're trying to leave.
Now I am, yes. But I just highlighted all these things for them and that they haven't responded to me.
Right.
All I'm saying is like, listen, I just want you to acknowledge it so that we can continue to go forward with it. And they haven't acknowledged it. And they also said like, oh, he doesn't want any pest control for his cat with fleas because my cat has fleas right now.
Oh, my God.
And I said like, I never said that. I just said, how about don't come the 2 hours a day I'm at work? That's all I'm asking for so you don't murder my pet. And they were like, well, that's not how it works. And I was like, what?
Yeah, that is weird.
Anyway, so.
I'm supposed to close on an apartment.
Hell yeah.
Here's what I'm dealing with my apartment complex.
What?
I have multiple packages missing. We've had break-ins in the cars, so that's one of the reasons I want to leave because it's just straight up unsafe. Here's what I'm wondering. Are they going to sue me for damages because I dyed my hair in the bathroom and got hair dye on the bathtub?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're going to jail.
No.
You're fine. Listen, all these apartments, when you leave them, you're supposed to clean them up a little bit. But guess what? Here's the trick.
they're going to take all of your security deposit anyway for all sorts of BS that you can't even see. The last apartment I was in, I spent 2 days cleaning it. It was spotless. And they found two things. And then they charged essentially the full security deposit. And they still have not sent me my check for the security deposit either. All these places will screw you over. So just accept it and move
Paul
on.
Paul and I are trying to grow up and become owner. In your case, a condo owner. In my case, move to a nicer apartment complex. Mm-hmm. We'll see. All right. We're checking out the text line 6434. Based on the moment, bottom of the ninth, just gave institutional placement a lead. I'm okay with Alvarez staring.
He probably thought the game was over. I mean, it's understandable. I don't like it. I'm not acting like this is a good thing, but it's an understandable moment. You think that the game's done, and it's pretty cool to clobber a home run to walk it off. He learned. He's young. He'll be better for it.
713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Let us know what you think about athletes kind of basking in the moment, per se, after what they think is a big moment. I don't hate it either, but man, when I tell you, the baby boomers and the Twitter was not happy with Yordan Alvarez.
It happens, though. Look, I get why people are worked up, too. Like, I get worked up after one game all the time. So I'm not telling you to not feel that way. It's something he's going to learn from, though. I trust it. I mean, we saw earlier this year, too. Has he not been pretty good in the outfield? He had that big biff in late in the game where he dives for a ball and it went by him. I think that all these young players, they're going to make mistakes. Better they make them now and learn from them now than learn from them in October.
We love Yordan, and we're obviously hoping the Astros can get another win tonight. They have three more. This is a four-game series against A.J. Hinch and the Detroit Tigers. Speaking of A.J. Hinch, you'll hear from him in a couple of segments. But next, here's what we're going to get to, Vanessa and Gallant. Some revisionist history in the AFC South involving the Titans and a former Colts quarterback. That's next.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
My eye has been twitching for like 2 days straight. Am I dying?
Yes.
I mean, it's like out of control. Or is it...
Go to WebMD and see what you find.
Is it the...
I'm sure you'll feel a lot better.
Maybe the 3 cups of coffee a day that I drink could be it.
Eye twitching happens from time to time. It's just a random nervous response.
So I'm not dying?
No, you're fine.
Some revisionist history happening this week involving the AFC South, the division, of course, of your Houston Texans. And I'm going to let you take the reins on this one that involves the Titans, and then I'll take the reins on the one that involves the Colts, because this is really interesting the way that people try to change the past.
I lurk on Texans Reddit a lot.
Right.
Somebody posted a thread from Titans Reddit on Texans Reddit, and I just got a kick out of it, because essentially, the Reddit thread was a really excited one about one of the newest members of the Tennessee Titans.
Okay.
Not Malik Willis. Tim Kelly.
Oh.
Former Texans offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
So the Reddit thread reads, Tim Kelly is the key to long-term success for Malik Willis. And then it links to an article. But I went through the comments section, and I thought it was funny because someone on Texans Reddit posted this on the Texans Reddit. So Texans fans are coming in, and they're like, good luck with that. But all these Titans fans are like, yeah, look at what he's done. Unbelievable. The work that he has put in with that Texans organization. Well, in this article, which is highlighted to these Titans fans, there's a couple of different passages that I just, again, got a kick out of. Because I don't think anyone in Houston was unhappy. In fact, I think most people were thrilled that Tim Kelly got the boot along with David Culley. I think more people probably disliked Tim Kelly and the way he ran that offense than they disliked actual David Culley.
There were several people, even in media, national media, that thought that Kelly should be let go and that David Culley should be given another year. That was like a real argument.
100%. But here's what this article reads. And again, people are wishful thinkers. I tend to think Titans fans are, in particular, like a really stupid NFL fan base. I will say that over and over again. I think that they come into the NFL from college football, focusing on the Tennessee Volunteers for all these years, but now they don't matter anymore. So now this is all they have, and
they think that they know football, but they don't because, you know, they never see good football. They just see one seeds blow it in the first round. Anyway, this article reads, under his tutelage, Tim Kelly's tutelage, Deshaun Watson enjoyed continued success. He even elevated his stats in 2020. During the Texans head coaching search that brought in David Culley, Watson pushed for the support of keeping Kelly as his offensive coordinator. Let's go a little bit further.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe his most impressive feat is what he did with the offense when the Texans were forced to hold Watson out for the season. Kelly was able to develop Davis Mills into an efficient starting quarterback. When it comes to bringing out the best in quarterbacks, Tim Kelly has a golden touch.
What?
I think it's funny that they just forget about Pep Hamilton, who is still here. Because Pep Hamilton is the guy that I'm excited about.
Right, yeah.
Because Pep Hamilton is the one that I think, if you look at the end of last year, is the one that should get the lion's share of the credit for being able to turn this offense into a actually somewhat functional unit. Now, maybe I'm being just like this person that was writing this up about Tim Kelly and my optimism about Pep Hamilton. But I feel like there's a track record of some success with Pep Hamilton, both in the XFL and here with the Texans, where with Tim Kelly, I think we all were tired of it. It's yet another extension of Bill O'Brien and some of the overcomplication when it comes to just creating an offense or the bizarre general managing moves that the
bizarre
guy
is right. Never forget it. The 2020 NFL Combine, this is about a week before COVID hit. It was like the last normal week in America where Tim Kelly finds out that he's going to be calling plays because O'Brien says so at the podium at the Combine.
Nice.
Because the media availability for Tim Kelly soon followed, and Tim Kelly said, and I quote, I found out when you guys did that he would be calling the plays. Now, that only lasted four games or a couple of games because then Bill O'Brien got fired. Actually, I think it lasted two games because Bill O'Brien then took over again for two games and got fired.
Nice.
My point being,
not a control freak at all.
Yeah, I mean, Tim Kelly,
really
like
to let other people help him out.
Tim Kelly was in an odd situation because he didn't have a lot of freedom. He wasn't able to call the plays, but he also had Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
And this article, by the way, that you're referencing that was on the Reddit, titansize.com, gives one of my biggest pet peeves in the first couple of sentences. Allow me to read to you.
Ooh, hit me.
Before the clock struck 9 p.m. on Friday night in the bright lights of Las Vegas Strip, the quarterback landscape in Nashville may have changed forever thanks to the draft selection of Liberty quarterback Malik Willis. May have changed forever. This is like when a draft analyst sends out a tweet that's like, he may be a Hall of Famer or he may not be. We'll see. Thank you. Thank you for that analysis.
That is what all draft analysis should be, though.
It's truthful, but at least put your name behind an opinion.
You want him to just
put
of those things on the table.
The quarterback landscape in Nashville may have changed forever is really dramatic.
It did literally change, like, somewhat forever. I mean, Malik Willis is now part of the
Titans. This is a bad article.
Yeah, it is.
This is an objectively bad article.
It is not good.
But back to Tim Kelly. Yeah, you're right. He was in a tough position, but I don't know that I would have said that he had the golden touch.
I just like watching Titans fans be complete morons. It's just a stupid fan base. You know,
you and I agree.
Whether you're one of these people that's here in Houston and you still like the Titans because like they drafted Vince Young and the Texans didn't, even though Vince Young is a complete bust. Or it's actually Vince, you know what? That's unfair. Vince Young had a couple of good seasons.
He had a good rookie year, right?
Yeah, he won rookie of the year. Yeah. he was actually pretty good his rookie season. Then everything fell apart. Or
he was on the cover of Madden.
Yeah, that's true. He made the cover of Madden.
That's where everything went wrong.
So that's maybe why some people here in Houston like the Titans. I don't know. I just generally think that the Tennessee-based Titans fans are complete morons. Is it personal? Yes. It is very personal. I will totally admit it. They have come after me multiple times on things I've been right about. And I don't like them.
It's one of the things that we absolutely agree on. I think that their brand is horrible. I think that their franchise is underperformed.
I'll go even further. I mean, I think a lot of their fans are cannibals and eat squirrels.
Okay, yeah, sure. We're going to go to the phone line right now. We have Rolando, who would like to talk to us about one Pep Hamilton. Pepper Hamilton? I don't know. Hello?
I want to be named Pepper.
Hey. Hey, guys. Good morning.
What's up, Rolando?
Hey.
Yeah, I want to talk about Pep Hamilton. This is just a quick question. Just maybe throw it out there. Because we all know Lovie Smith isn't the long-term head coach for like this 4 or 5 years, but if Cass Hamilton does a really, really good job, the OC, can y'all see him bumping up to a head coach for us or maybe somewhere else?
Ooh, and that's tricky.
Tom Brady deserved more than 4 years, four games.
You deserve jail time for that statement.
I love you, Rolando. You deserved an entire year.
You know what?
Integrity of the game.
And we're getting rid of
year in San Quentin. That's what he deserves.
Yeah. You know what? No. You all deserve San Quentin. You all deserve Rikers Island.
Also, Pep's real name is not Pep. You know what? It's Alfonso. That's my bad.
I was really excited about Elon Musk getting free speech back on Twitter. No. I want free speech gone. How dare you just besmirch a god, a living god amongst us in Tom Brady. To go back to Pep Hamilton. That's an interesting question, and it's one of the things that I actually wanted this offseason. I wanted the Texans to go and give it to Pep Hamilton because I thought it established a little bit of continuity. But in Pep Hamilton, you'd also have a guy who I think has some serious upside as a coach. You saw him as a head coach in the XFL, and he did a pretty good job there. Was it with the DC Defenders, I think?
Yeah, he was right? XFL.
That's the best team Washington's seen in like a decade.
I think if Lovie retires and if Pep has done a good job.
But that's the tricky thing,
right,
though.
Would Lovie decide to retire? If Lovie doesn't retire, and there, look, Pep Hamilton is not only liked in locker rooms and among general managers, he's a minority. There's a huge push for a minority head coach. I think he's a perfect candidate. So to Rolanda's question, absolutely, I think Pep ends up with a head coach job if he kills it here in Houston. No question.
And I mean, that's why I look at the decision with Lovie Smith. And I don't think it's like a bad move, like some maybe thought. But you got to think about the long term here. I heard John and Lance talking about this morning. Okay, well, how long do you think Lovie Smith is here? Just because of the way that everything has been going of late. The Texans are going to look bad unless they establish a little bit of continuity here. And I would think that Lovie Smith is at least going to get 2 years, if not three. But if the offense thrives in any way, shape, or form, Pep Hamilton's stock has definitely risen over the course of the last two calendar years. And I think that at some point, someone is going to say, as you just said, like, hey, let's see if this guy maybe can do it as a head coach. And if you can MacGyver your way into a functional offense with Davis Bleeping Mills under center, no offense to Davis Mills, I still think he has a lot to prove, then yeah, you're going to absolutely be a candidate. It's one thing to be, Eric Bieniemy or Byron Leftwich, who are working with Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady, respectively. Two guys who've had their names thrown into the ring as guys who could potentially be head coaches someday because of their offensive minds. But, I mean, if Pep Hamilton makes it work with a guy who was an afterthought in the draft, then I think that he is going to be very highly sought after, potentially in the very near future. And that would be an awkward situation. Say you have Lovie Smith and then all of a sudden Pep Hamilton leaves. Like, are you going to be able to be the same offensively? We have had a mess when it comes to offensive coordinators
Absolutely.
Here in Houston over the past decade.
No question. And with Pep Hamilton, like I said, you look at his history around the league and the reaction when he was bumped to, given that position, or I should say have earned that position. It was... Players were excited. Coaches were excited. You heard Lovie Smith that said, I've tried to make something work with Pep for years at various stops, and it didn't work until here in Houston. So I think it's one of those things to where Lovie would be happy for him. But absolutely, if you're an offensive coordinator, the only step up from that is head coach. Mm-hmm. And I think that Pep Hamilton has obviously paid his dues in a lot of different ways, and that could happen for him. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we continue this conversation. Pep Hamilton, Tim Kelly, the AFC South, going back to a former Colts quarterback and an NFL legend that is vehemently defending him. That's next.
Ooh, but first, I got to tell you about my friends at the Passive Investor Network. What is PassiveInvestor.net, the Passive Investor Network? It's a full-service real estate investment firm that takes the fear, headache, and guesswork out of the investing process with real estate. For someone like me, I'm a noted idiot. I don't know anything about real estate. But guess what? I want to invest. I want to make money. And I know that you can invest through real estate. I just don't know the actual ins and outs. And that's what PIN does. PassiveInvestor.net is where you want to go. And you're going to set up a meeting. PIN is going to create a personalized 5-year plan for your investments based off of your financial goals. And here's how they show it to you. They do a bus tour and they show you the process of investing in real estate and what a property can be over that 5-year stretch, how it starts and what it ultimately finishes as. This bus tour, May 21st, you can sign up for it at the website, again, passiveinvestor.net, using promo code ESPN for a free registration. And it's a really cool thing that they're doing. Passive Investor, they know how to make you serious coin on this side of things. And they, again, are going to do it for you, which is great. Passive Investor Network. PassiveInvestor.net is the website. Again, PassiveInvestor.net. Enter the promo code ESPN. Get on that bus tour.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, TGIF, we are rolling along on a Friday. I'm Vanessa Richardson. I'm with Paul Gallant. Our producer, as always, behind the glass is Sean Mapes. Hope everybody's having a good almost weekend.
I'm thrilled.
We're almost there. A couple more hours, guys.
It's going to be a scorcher.
Yeah. What is that? My friend Justin Stapleton, shout out to all the hardworking meteorologists out there. It's going to be in the 90s.
Pool season.
It is pool season.
It's time for me to break out the paste. Get a little base. Let's go.
The heat in Houston was one of the hardest things for me to adjust to when I moved. My first day at work, it was August of 2019, and it was Texans training camp. Mm-hmm. And I showed up wearing, because I wanted to be taken seriously, like dress pants.
Oh, no.
And yeah, it was really bad.
You can't do that.
Much to my surprise, all of the media are in like athletic shorts, tank tops,
golf polos. That's the way to go.
The hair is out. The hair is up. Like the women aren't wearing makeup. The guys are wearing bucket hats. And I remember it was John Lopez that was like, you don't need to do that. Like, cause I was in like the full dress pants get up. So
golf polo, baseball hat, you're good to go. And guess what? Being a part of this heat makes you tougher. You know, all these soft northerners, they come down here, they can't deal. They can't deal with what we go through. They're soft. They're weak. We are strong.
You are from Boston.
No, I'm from Texas now.
You are
Depends on the day. Like, I appropriate all of the different places I'm
from. You talked about this on Instagram or Twitch or something.
Yeah, I appropriate being from Boston whenever I want to be snobbish about my football knowledge. I'm from Boston. I know more than you. I watch the Patriots. I appropriate being from Florida whenever I want.
You did do high school in Florida,
to explain my athleticism. I played high school football in Florida. I'm super fast. Whenever I want to talk about how I am, you know, like saving the environment, I'm like, right. Yeah, I lived in Seattle. I recycled. Did you? You know, you got to appropriate all the different parts of your culture. And then, yeah, Texas. If I ever go up into the Northeast and someone tries to take me to an authentic Mexican restaurant, I'm like, no, absolutely not. I'm from Texas. I'm above that.
Yeah.
You know, you got to use what you've got to shut people up.
A little bit of a revisionist history there. And we talked about this in the last segment, revisionist history with Tim Kelly and Titans fans, assuming that because he's their passing game coordinator, that he had the golden touch and that he'll make a big difference.
Yeah, he'll save Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, or Malik Willis, who they said may or may not.
He's the second coming.
May or may not change the landscape. Thank you for the thorough review there. Speaking of revisionist history involving the AFC South, I love Torrey Smith. I think he does a great job. When he's on Good Morning Football, he's kind of an evolving media personality and certainly had a great NFL career as a wide receiver. He was on Good Morning Football this morning and had a very passionate defense of one former Eagles, Colts, and now current Commanders quarterback, Carson Wentz.
Just a few years back in Philadelphia, against his new team, the Washington football team, excuse me, the Washington Commanders, he ducked under it, gets out, one of the best plays I've ever seen in my life. And look, right there at the bottom, front row seat, 82, didn't block a single soul. Didn't block a single soul, but Carson was there making a big time play. Listen, that's just a flash of the past right there. Oftentimes, you guys hear everyone talk about the past. And yes, I'm one of those guys who I was in a huddle. I will continue to defend him from that. However, there's proof right here from last season
He's
still that guy. And if you don't believe what you see with your own two eyes, look at the numbers. 3,500 passing yards, 27 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. If I put any other quarterback's name next to it, you would say, okay, that's a decent season. Now I say that's Carson Wentz, and you want to start a war. So I'm here for it. I have my bulletproof vest on. We can jump on Twitter. You can add us. I'm ready. I'm presenting my case, putting my criminal justice degree from the University of Maryland to work. But my guy Carson's going to have a big year in Washington.
Thank you, Torrey Smith, on Good Morning Football this morning.
I like how he just flexed the criminal justice degree.
Yeah, just wants everybody to know that he played at Maryland and got a criminal justice degree.
That's a cool degree to get, though.
It's a cool degree, and it's what the majority of athletes, I shouldn't say the majority.
It is really the majority?
It's one of the most common criminal justice. I know at Indiana State, like all the basketball and football players get criminal justice degrees.
That, honestly, I remember I took forensics class in college to check off the requirements as part of liberal arts education to get that science going. And I remember I just like acted like I was David Caruso's character Horatio Caine on CSI Miami. Like I would just take off the goggles in the lab and remove them and just say, well, looks like this person's
It's not like you to
dead.
Be dramatic at all. That's crazy. I almost don't believe it when I hear it.
And you play, you know,
all right,
in
so
the background.
Carson Wentz, he made some bad decisions this past year.
Okay. Well, you know, it wasn't as bad as other years, right? I mean, he had some bad moments, but was Carson Wentz as bad this past season as he was in years past?
That's not the point. The point is, the point is that Torrey Smith said that he's going to have his best year yet.
Okay.
At the end of that. I think that that's ridiculous. I love Torrey Smith, and I do understand, and I do get the fact that he's friends with Carson Wentz. He was in the huddle with Carson Wentz, and in his opinion, he's a good leader. The quarterback stats thing is interesting, but I think with Carson Wentz, now I'll loop back to what you said. No, it wasn't the worst year ever, and I do think in some ways people were dramatic about it. He only had 7 interceptions.
His interceptions were just dramatically bad.
Right.
Sort of like Horatio Caine.
One of the worst ever against Tennessee. Like, the minute it happened.
Oh, my God. People in the end zone, right? Yes. Where he was about to get sacked for a safety. And he's like, YOLO, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Pick 6.
And I think it's more also about the fact that they had a 90% chance of making the playoffs with 2 games left to go. And then they crapped the bet against the Raiders.
And the Jaguars.
And the Jags. That was really bad. So I understand Torrey Smith wanting to put up for Carson Wentz, but I think there's a little bit of revisionist history going on here, similar, of course, along the same lines of the way that Titans fans are making it up in their head that Tim Kelly was really, really helpful to Deshaun Watson.
Well, let me ask a general question. At what point are you supposed to give up on the idea that a player who played like X a long time ago, let's say he played like an MVP, because Carson Wentz was the MVP front runner in 2017 before he tore his ACL against the Rams. At what point are you supposed to give up that that is never coming back? At what point do you have to accept that a guy,
if I'm
not mistaken, he's still, I think, in his 20s, right?
Yeah, late 20s.
So, I mean, at what point do you completely give up the idea that he can be that guy again?
I think maybe when you're going to your second team in 2 years.
And
But sometimes it's about fit, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe Carson Wentz was a better fit on that team with Torrey Smith. He was at the Eagles. And it may turn out that he goes to the Commanders and that he does a pretty good job. To me, that doesn't mean he would have fit with the Colts for another year.
That's fair. And I think the reason that we all, and I used to drive the Carson Wentz wagon.
He's 29.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's still
young.
He's still pretty young. I used to drive the Wentz wagon. Like, I was the leader of it because he does have some extreme moments where you're like, holy crap, this guy's incredible. Like, he can make some incredible throws. He can extend plays. There are some things he does that whenever I see those glimpses, I'm like, I get it. I do get why people try to talk themselves into Carson Wentz over and over and over again. But I think the biggest reason everyone should give up is they legitimately had him working with Frank Reich. And Frank Reich was even like, yeah, I'm out.
Well, Frank Reich,
who worked with him in Philadelphia,
more of Chris Ballard and Jim Irsay, from what I understand. But yes, I mean, Frank Reich couldn't make it work with him. And this was the guy that had had him in Philadelphia and had really liked him and and made the case for him to come in.
And you're probably right in that the decision was made much further upstairs.
Because
Jim Irsay has been very vocal about it.
He and Ballard, for
but
sure.
But I would say, though, Frank Reich could have said something and stood up for him. And Reich kind of just was like, all right, well, yeah, I'm out.
Yeah, it went from Carson's our quarterback, he's our leader undisputed, to all of a sudden at the end of the year, we'll keep all our options open and whatnot. According to Chris Ballard, by the way, Colts GM, they may have cut Wentz even if they made the playoffs. This is according to an interview that he did with Pro Football Talk. He said, I don't know. I think we still would have had some hard discussions even if we had made the playoffs, just the way we played down the stretch, and we knew we needed to make some improvements in that area. But one thing I think owner Jim Irsay and I and Frank Reich, we're all pretty good at, when we know something's not a good fit, don't try to justify it. Let's move forward. If they had made the playoffs and then traded Carson Wentz / cut Carson Wentz, I think people would be more up in arms about it. But, you know.
We'll see what he does with Washington. That's a doomed situation, though, for anybody.
Going to the Commanders?
Oh, yeah, you're screwed. Just by default.
Do you say that because of the actual roster or because of the environment with Daniel Snyder and all of the things that they're going through and the history of quarterbacks there?
I think it's just a poorly run organization from top to bottom, and I don't think Ron Rivera has all that much say as the head coach that separates the actual roster, the football players, from all the bull bleep that's taking place upstairs. I think that's just a sucky place to be. I guess if you're Carson Wentz, the good thing is you're not going to be the focal point of a lot of the people that are covering the team, and you're not going to be maybe criticized in the same way Daniel Snyder is. It's nice to have like a shield of an owner, like in Major League, that owner of the Cleveland Indians in that movie who wants to move the team to Miami. You know, it's nice to have, I guess, a common enemy, but I don't think that enemy often leads to success.
I will say the Heat, to your point, will probably not be on Carson Wentz now that you mentioned that.
No.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're talking about Astros superlatives. We're 1 month into the season. Who is the most improved? Who's the biggest surprise? What have you seen from batting? Plus, the GOAT weighs in on an age-old controversy. That's next.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, Carlos Correa obviously in Minnesota now, tearing it up there, but got injured. Got hit in the hand twice and has a possible finger fracture. He's supposed to get a scan today, and they'll have a diagnosis, the Minnesota Twins will, but it's always a bummer. Even though he's not here, Carlos Correa, the game is more fun when he's healthy and when he's really going at it.
WebMD.com.
Oh, no.
Displaced versus non-displaced fractures. Because Carlos Correa has a displaced fracture. So basically, it's a non-displaced fracture that he is dealing with. So they don't move out of alignment. So it's like a crack, essentially. Doesn't break all the way through. So that's, I would imagine, good for Carlos Correa. But the guy's had unfortunate luck when it comes to things that involve his skeleton. And I don't know, maybe he needs a little more Boniva or calcium or something like that. Whatever the case.
Boniva.
That is yet another reason that you can point at the Astros' decision to move on from Correa to Jeremy Peña and say, all right, well, maybe James Click and Jim Crane knew what they were doing. Because it always has been a bit of a problem with Correa. He misses a lot of time, and it's no fault of his own. I don't like it when a player gets like basically lambasted for being glass. I think that's BS that so many in our industry say it, when a lot of the people in our industry are just mouth-breathing fat people.
Oh.
No offense to those people. I just don't like it when someone gets called soft or glass by a fatty.
It is a little bit ironic.
You know, yeah, because I think most of us, like, in this industry are, let's be honest, like, just decidedly out of shape slobs, which I have no problem with being. But, you know what you are. That's part of the, that's the first step.
It's like when I watch a Dateline or a murder mystery and I'm stuffing my face with food and I'm like, what an idiot. He left DNA behind.
Yeah.
Dummy.
Yeah. You leave like your dishes out of the sink.
How'd they not crack this one as you're just watching it?
It's taken 30 years. What an idiot. Come on, Santa Barbara Police Department.
I mean, that's who we are by nature. So that's just one random little trigger that I have. But I mean, look, this decision continues to look more and more correct. The decision to move on from Carlos Correa, and you take any confirmation where you can get it. And I mean, he was off to a relatively slow start too. Minnesota, maybe not so much, but you wonder, hey, okay, is Carlos Correa going to be a free agent after this season since he does have the opt-out in his contract?
To me, that was the plan all along.
Yeah.
I don't think he and Daniela planned on building roots in Minnesota. But yeah, hit in the hand twice during the 5-3 loss to the Orioles. Not once, but twice. I'm glad you brought up that it's not his fault, because this is one of those legitimate things. It's not like he made a risky play or was diving for... I mean, he was hit in the hand twice. So we'll see what happens with Carlos Correa. And again, the Minnesota Twins supposed to release more info about that.
Someone
today
commented that you shouldn't give them credit because they saw that Peña was cheaper. And that is a fair point. I mean, Correa is the proven player. But look, if you're the Astros right now, what are you doing? You are looking for any reason other than, hey, he cost a lot of money to justify the decision. And, I mean, this was one of the – if you were going to make a pros and cons list, injury was one of the things you were definitely going to bring up if you're the Astros.
Todd, the show on Twitch says, reminds me of Will Ferrell in Wedding Crashers. What an idiot.
Yeah.
That's exactly
what
right.
What a loser. Oh, honey, I'm hand gliding. Oh, I'm dead. I would never go hang gliding, by the way.
Wedding Crashers is one of the best movies ever, by the way.
It is very good.
Tattoo on the lower back might as well be a bullseye. We lost a lot of good men out there. Playing to the Yankees? Yeah, I mean, trades.
Funeral crashing seems intriguing.
It's incredible. Yeah, R.I.P. Carlos Correa. He's not dead. He just has a...
I was like, damn, okay.
He's a finger. So you had a good idea.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that do this at the end of a season or even at the beginning after a draft. We are a month into the season giving the Astros some grades and superlatives.
Right. And look, I mean, as someone who went to a private
Help.
School, we would
so
get
spoiled.
Progress reports a
oh,
lot.
Oh, was that awesome, Sean and Paul? Was
I love
it great
how Sean
to be
shaking
rich?
His head like
What's
he's
it
not
like
a part
to be
it.
Rich?
It's great. You get to throw change
yeah.
at the homeless. No,
Terre Haute,
I'm kidding. North
Figo High
that.
School, baby.
I would never give them
Go
any of my money.
Go public schools. If you're public schools with me, no charter schools. You don't get our funding. I'm serious. Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, sorry. You get progress reports a lot. There's a little more attention that's sent your way. I actually had a really funny progress report once about how I need to stop sitting next to one of my best friends in class because I was supposedly getting distracted by him. And actually, in his progress reports, it was written up how he was distracting to everybody else, even though he was getting A's in the class.
Mm. I always got talks too much. That was on everyone.
What a surprise.
Yeah.
I mean,
so
I
literally
the same thing.
On every single progress report, it said, pleasure to have in class, but like talks too much.
Yeah. Tries to convert people into believing Tom Brady is God. Like that was one of the things in my progress report.
I was going to say, sure as hell wasn't on.
Just kidding on that one, too. Look, though, we're giving progress reports out. We're yes. a month of the way through the year.
Go Astros.
So I thought, okay, well, over the course of the show, let's just determine where we are at with a couple of different things. So let's start off with batting. Where are the Astros at? If you were to grade 1 month through the year as batting, where are they at?
I'm going B minus because I think they're on the uptick.
Ooh, B minus.
Because they started rough.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go with a B. The offense was not there. Mm-hmm. It was a major struggle. As mm-hmm. we said, who would have thought that this Astros team was going to rely on pitching to get them a couple wins here and there the first month of the season? So I would go with a B minus because I think that at the beginning of the season it was worse. But we are on the uptick. We saw a couple solo homers last night, and then you had Kyle Tucker deliver in a big moment, which is what we've known about this Astros team the last 5 years, is there's always somebody that can step up with the bats and deliver when needed.
Okay.
What say you?
Well, look, I'm a hard grader, and I feel like in school you need to be challenged. You need your professor to challenge the children. How do I reach these keys from stand and deliver?
Okay.
Well, I'm going to reach the Astros bats. They're getting a D.
Whoa.
20th,
so what would it have been at the beginning, an F?
20th in runs scored.
Mm. Mm.
D's get degrees, right? We're not failing them.
I thought it was always C's. Is
it C's? It's D's.
It's
D's get degrees.
C's.
The Killer Bees have had this debate. I thought it was C's get degrees.
It's C's get degrees.
I got a D in comm law in college. It's the only time I've ever gotten below a
was
D
it a pass fail
in my life? No, this was a comm law class. It was, hey, does this count as actually you having taken the class? D does count.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, Syracuse. Wow.
Yeah, shout out.
Doesn't
shout
fly out. At the University of Texas.
Oh, my God. Shut up. Now I'm getting defensive. We're going to move back to this.
Is it horns?
D was passing.
Is this right?
You got it. You got it.
There you go,
but
Vanessa.
This also means love, right?
I don't know. Maybe in sign language?
No, it's... What's the rock... Okay, so there's rock on...
Jump on the Twitch if you want to know
that's
what
it's a
Vanessa's
gang sign, Vanessa.
Is doing.
Vanessa, can you stop with the gang signs? We are a family program.
Okay, so it's C's get degrees, but D. But you give the Astros a D.
I'm giving them a D plus for the bats. Listen, you're...
A D plus, okay.
Yeah, so it's not like a totally bad D, because F is the only one where
you
there's no plus or minus.
You are channeling your inner pathetic John McClane right
but
now.
But it's not
pathetic.
Good enough. It's not good enough. You have all of these bats. You should be better. Even if Carlos Correa is gone, am I supposed to just forget about the fact that you have Altuve, Kyle Tucker, Brantley, that you have Jordan Alvarez, that Jeremy Peña has been hitting well for you, and he's like honestly been one of your best hitters? You have a lot of guys in your lineup, Bregman, that should be making this team score a lot of runs. And, I mean, again, last night, it's 2 runs until the 9th inning. I'm just saying they can be better. So this is my wake-up call. We're 1 month into the year, and if I were grading the Houston Astros bats, I would say D+.
Okay, I go with B-. He goes with D+. We're going to be doing this, by the way, throughout the show, so let us know, certainly. Shoot us a text or get at us on Twitter, 713-780-ESPN. The superlative for this segment is biggest surprise. Who has surprised you most on this Astros team? I say, and this is probably a common one, Jeremy Peña. I think we all knew that we would see some flashes of greatness from this rookie, but for him to step up the way that he has in the shadow of Carlos Correa, just to be himself, get it done, has been really fun to see.
Yeah, and you know,
Peña mania.
I wonder how long this continues. I really do. This is a guy who really has just surprised the hell out of me. That first game, I was concerned about his you know, arm at shortstop, but I assumed that his defense would be good, and his defense has been great. But I figured, okay, you're going from having, you know, an all-world, all-star, A-Rod light version of a shortstop to, you know, a young player who's probably going to be like most traditional middle infielders. And this guy has power. The power is the thing I did not expect. And in a league that, you know, is prioritizing that more and more, to get someone like that as opposed to a contact hitter, I mean, there's really something here. It's a month in. There's a lot of time to go. But having watched a couple of those young players that came up in the Mariners farm system that were like these super prospects, I am just really, really impressed by how quickly he has picked it up, where a guy like Jared Kelnick in Seattle, like, he's still trying to figure it out, and it's been almost a year.
Carlos Correa, 27 years old, seems so much older because of the fact that he was with the Astros for 7 years. Jeremy Peña is 24, of course, drafted in the third round just a mere 4 years ago, and according to the New York Times, had only 182 minor league games under his belt. So he had a tall task, and that's the other reason to me he's the biggest surprise is he did great in minor league, right? But he wasn't like the minor leaguer that you knew was going to come in and, quite frankly, help a franchise that's won a World Series and went to one last year maintain a decent record. I mean, he has been the reason that they've been able to get out of some of these situations that they've put themselves in with the lack of batting. So my biggest surprise is Jeremy Peña. What say you?
Yeah, Peña too. It's. I mean, how can you not say Peña? You know, I don't even really know who else would even be a possible nominee.
Verlander coming off TJ.
It's a great call. That's Sean Mapes. Explain your take on that.
I mean, he came off Tommy John. He's 39 years old, and he's still the best pitcher on the Astros on a good pitching team.
I guess I take him for granted.
Yeah,
if you would have told me Justin Verlander, yeah, when Ben Verlander tweeted that Justin Verlander was going to come back, which, you know, source question mark, we knew that it was real.
Yeah.
When his brother tweeted it, I was like, no freaking way.
Yeah, the fact he's on this team is a surprise, and then the fact he's on this team and still their best pitcher, sub-2 ERA. And, yeah, I mean, 7 earned runs in 5 starts, he's been incredible.
He really has been.
I like that. That's a really good call.
I took him for granted. I assumed this. You know, I thought he would be some version of this.
Really?
This isn't me patting myself on the back. This is just like, is Verlander.
It's a right take.
I mean, if he's alive. You know, it's sort of like with Brady. I'm just like, well, he's going to be good as long
as he's
out
there. Brady, we're going to get to some of his TikTok shenanigans within the next coming segments, and you don't want to miss it. But coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, a certain former Astros manager was not worried about the Yankees letter. You can probably guess who that is next.
ESPN 97.5.